When eBay gets all fancy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Like the couple that splits, then tries again, eBay and the auction house Sotheby's will try a second marriage. About a dozen years ago, the two tried a joint project, but it didn't work out. The New York Times today has details of how eBay could stream the video of Sotheby's auctions. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has been looking into this. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, David.
Let's start with Sotheby's. Why are they doing this?
The idea is to get more people to bid on the very expensive stuff they sell, things like artwork, wine, jewelry. Part of this apparently has to do with what Sotheby's rival Christie's is doing. Christie's is planning to open its own new auction website this fall. Both Sotheby's and Christie's are trying to reach more of the middle luxury market. And that's people who wouldn't pony up $100 million for a painting, but might spend thousands of dollars on a handbag. Also, Sotheby's can piggyback on eBay's technology.
All right. And how about eBay? What do they get out of this?
It wants to go a bit more upmarket. It's been reaching for those more affluent shoppers. It's also hoping that people who bid on a Sotheby's auction through eBay will then go on and spend thousands more on eBay itself. Also, the Times says Sotheby's will pay eBay a commission. And David, as you mentioned, Sotheby's and eBay have been married before, but that partnership only lasted a year. There were more browsers than buyers. And the feeling at the time was consumers just weren't ready for pricey online auctions. There were a lot of concerns also about authenticity. And Sotheby's this time is going to include a certificate of authenticity. So we'll see if that helps.
All right. Original Rembrandt, starting bid $2, free shipping. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer, thank you.
You're welcome.
General Motors says it will pay victims of its defective ignition switches with its own cash, not using liability insurance. And we assigned Kate Davidson to explain why an insured company would pay out of pocket.
There's precedent for creating a compensation fund with your own money, says Robert Hartwig. He heads the Insurance Information Institute, an industry-funded group.
BP, in the wake of the Deepwater Horizon disaster, was completely self-insured. Generally speaking, what it paid and what it continues to pay is completely out of its own pocket.
Risk management consultant Peter Viscardi says a lot of companies self-insure when they get to be the size of GM.
Many of these companies have assets greater than insurance companies. Their balance sheets are strong enough to absorb a certain degree of losses on their own.
They often set up captives, wholly owned insurance subsidiaries. GM won't disclose the terms of its coverage, though it says it has insurance. Still, there may be reasons not to use it. Robert Hartwig says insurance companies scrutinize claims.
Was the driver speeding? Was the driver impaired?
Not tapping insurance means GM could lessen what analysts see as a bigger risk, more damage to its reputation. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
Part of auto racing is the sound. NASCAR, Indy, drag racing, whatever the motorsport, high decibels are part of the experience. But later this year, racing fans will be presented with an alternative with the launch of the Formula E World Championship, E4 electric race cars, where the E cars have just taken to the track in anger for the first time. The BBC's Theo Leggett filed this report for us from Britain's Donington Park Raceway.
Okay, despite what you might think, that isn't the sound of an overpowered vacuum cleaner or a giant food mixer. In fact, it just could be the sound of a revolution taking place in the world of motorsport. I'm talking about Formula E, the first ever world championship for electric racing cars. It starts in Beijing in September, and there'll be races in cities around the world, including Miami and Long Beach. And it isn't just for fun, as the series' chief executive Alejandro Agag explains.
The objective of Formula E is to have more electric cars in the streets of the cities around the world. We think electric cars help to solve big problems that we have, like city pollution. So with Formula E, we want to accelerate that change towards electric cars.
The cars themselves look sleek and purposeful, quite like an Indy car or something from Formula One. But when they leave the garage, there's no revving engine, no pungent smell of burned fuel, just a frantic, high-pitched whirring. And if spectators find it all a bit strange, so do the drivers. among them former IndyCar racer Catherine Legg.
I've been driving racing cars now for a very long time, and used to big old grumbly engines, and obviously it's silent. So you're going down the straight and you can feel a little bit of buffering from the wind as you would normally, but there's no roar behind you, it's completely quiet.
The races will all take place on city streets, so fans can get close to the action, and DJs will provide a thumping musical backdrop. Ex-Formula One champion Alain Prost, who's running a team in Formula E, thinks it's a winning combination.
You know, we are going to have a one-day race inside the city with a lot of music, the concert in the evening, and I hope that we're going to bring some new people looking at this kind of race, and especially young people.
And that's the key. Formula E is aimed at young people, the kind who want their technology as clean and pristine as a polished iPod, and who won't miss the oily rumble of, say, a NASCAR V8. It means the new championship may well be spectacular, but it'll certainly be rather quiet. At Donington Park Racetrack, I'm Theo Leggett for Marketplace.
And Home Depot will start selling 3D printers in 12 of its stores today. The small ones made by MakerBot, which is now a division of Stratasys Limited. It's seen as a pilot project, and you can see why Home Depot would be both intrigued and perhaps scared by the emerging technology. Imagine a future where you don't have to schlep to the hardware store to find the gutter clamp or the 9/16 faucet washer. You just stay home and hit print. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.